I'm Thomas Nagy with you on The Electrical Show this lunchtime. Now, on today's show, I will be joined by Stephen Biggs, the technical manager from Tamlight Lighting. Now, this has taken a little bit of time to set up because it's trying to get everyone's diaries to sync together is pretty tough as it happens. But now, Stephen's been quite outspoken, if you will, on behalf of Tamlight about this new building safety bill. And he's hailing it as the biggest change in building safety for what, 30, 40 years roughly. So he's going to be coming on the show today and we'll be asking him about some of the key proposals in this bill and more importantly, how they're going to affect electrical contractors, big and small, and more about accountability and what's, you know, just the general accountability for when you think of building safety in terms of Grenfell and things like that. More about the things about accountability. That's the main thing we want to try and pin him down on today and see what he comes up with. So,
Fix Radio, time to crack on.
Welcome back to The Electrical Show. I'm Thomas Nagy and we're joined on The Electrical Show today by Stephen Biggs. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, Stephen Biggs is the technical manager at Tamlight Lighting. Stephen, thank you very much for taking the time to come onto the show. I know this is it's taken a bit of back and forth to find the right space in our diaries to arrange this. So thank you for coming on. Stephen, you've said that the building safety bill represents some of the biggest changes in building safety in the last 40 odd years. Can you just explain just what are some of the key proposals and changes within this bill, so to speak?
Yeah, sure. So the building safety bill really reflects many of the recommendations that were made by Dame Judith Hackett in an independent review of the building regulations, of course, in the aftermath of the tragedy at Grenfell. So some of the main changes within the bill are, you know, ensuring that there are clearly identified people responsible for the safety during the design, build and occupation of high-rise residential buildings. Establish a building safety regulator to hold account those who break the rules and are not properly managing building safety risks, including enforcement action where needed. Also to give residents in these buildings more routes to raise concerns about safety and mechanisms to ensure that their concerns will be heard and taken seriously.
No, I see. So this is more sort of about accountability, really, isn't it? About being able to place accountability on people, I guess.
Exactly that, yeah. And, you know, that one there is to extend the right for compensation for substandard workmanship and unacceptable defects. Of course, due to involvement at, you know, every stage of a project, electrical contractors could arguably amongst the best place to ensure that building owners and managers are aware of the implications, particularly when it comes to the requirements of emergency lighting, for instance, helping to ensure that their vital building safety system is fit for purpose. But as you mentioned there, for me, the biggest concern being addressed by the bill is that need for the greater accountability at every stage of the construction process. You know, establishing a chain of custody and holding those in charge throughout the various stages of the building's existence accountable for these mistakes. And it is only by doing this that we can start to guarantee the greater consistency with the, you know, the design and construction of quality buildings moving forward.
I mean, you've just taken the next question out of my mouth there, because that was literally the next I was going to say. How is this actually going to impact in the real world? How will this impact electrical contractors as a whole? What sort of differences are we going to be expecting, do you think, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I think there's going to be that awareness thing that needs to come through. I mean, you know, the bill, as it stands here today, it is going through the House of Commons, but hope to be in the House of Lords by Christmas, which then should see that further progression where we'll start to see and understand how it's going to take effect. But, you know, what it means is, you know, for the day-to-day electrical contractors is, you know, raising that awareness of the requirements for compliant systems, emergency lighting systems. Too many times, you know, we see often after the event, we get these tragedies, really, as we would refer to them, is you look at the substandard of work that's gone on after the event, and to see the bill actually having people being made responsible and seeing, you know, that adoption across, you know, the building sector is definitely going to bring some changes in.
But there seems to be quite a low awareness overall of this new building safety bill. There seems to be, because I didn't actually hear about this until I heard it on Fix. And I'd like to think I'm reasonably up to date with sort of what's going on out there. But there seems to be a very low awareness of this, considering the contents of it. Why do you think that is? Because, do you know what I mean? It just seems to be a very low awareness of it.
Definitely, I'd agree. And I think there's been a discussion about the building safety bill, but the awareness needs to be increased by making people aware of the role that they can play in the implementation going forward. You know, the message is clear. Not only did construction firms and their partners need to do everything they can to make buildings as safe as possible, they need to be seen to be doing so. You know, everyone across that building services sector needs to be working together to maintain building safety and offering the highest levels of accountability. You know, of course, for us as a leading lighting manufacturer, we see it as vital that we show leadership in raising awareness of the scope and importance of the initiatives which will improve building safety. And we're also working hard to communicate a clear case for quality solutions that deliver excellence. You know, responsible manufacturers like ourselves are trying to inform and educate the market and provide advice that offers real peace of mind.
Now, Stephen, as we were just discussing, this new safety bill, and there's quite a lot of reforms to fire safety. In your opinion, this is the sort of thing we can go down a rabbit hole talking about this. So just trying to keep it super simple. But do you think it's horrendous, this Grenfell tragedy, but do you think it's changed attitudes to fire safety among contractors?
I think it is a subject that needs to be talked about and kept in people's mind. It's not something that goes away. And we, of course, hope for regulations that will only get tighter. You know, with the building safety once again put under that spotlight earlier this year following the fire at New Providence Wharf in London, which was down to a consumer unit fire, you know, which then spread to the other floors via external timber on balconies. And, you know, I've got a quote here from the London Fire Brigade's initial findings. Deputy Commissioner Richard Mill said, "Despite our response to this fire and drawing on the many lessons learned from the Grenfell Tower fire, in many cases, we're sadly still seeing a culture change in all those responsible for fire safety in high-rise buildings. The New Providence Wharf fire needs to be an urgent wake-up call to all building owners and managers looking at fire safety solutions inside your building and take action if they're not performing correctly. It is too late to wait for a fire to see their work." And that is the key to it, really, is, you know, making sure we're looking at it from a proactive approach as opposed to a reactive approach. You know, we're going to continue to see some of these things where, you know, errors with buildings and, you know, just within the last 24 hours, there's been, again, another news headline with Grenfell Tower. And, you know, so I'm sure there'll be more that comes out from that side. Yes, I do think it's in the, you know, people's minds. People are a lot more conscious of it. Ourselves, we see a lot more people coming on for specific emergency lighting designs and schemes because people are much more aware of its importance and relevance. Again, it's going to be that thing that takes, you know, many months. And unfortunately, as we always see, we always need a problem for people to start actually taking these things seriously.
I mean, I guess that's the good thing about where this bill comes in, because it is definitely trying to make the point that there's going to start being some serious accountability going on here. But because there is a culture, and it's definitely something which I think has increased a lot in the last couple of years, that it's just, you know, cheap, 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 price, 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 faster, faster, faster. And of course, with that mentality, you know, when you have properties that need EICRs doing, all these sort of things should be checked. And of course, this whole culture of speed, time, fast, of course, it is, you know, do you know what I mean? You get those sort of things you become lax on. And I guess this bill is going to be a great way of trying to put an end to that culture of just, you know, well, I can't see it from my house, you know, because that is the culture that we have nowadays, unfortunately.
Definitely, yeah. And of course, we see it every day with the lighting end of the market, specifically lighting. But, you know, all these things that we look at ultimately come down to cost. And that's where we've got to change the mindset of people, not looking at cheap, 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 and starting to put actual quality, worthwhile and compliant solutions in place.
Fix Radio.
I'm Thomas Nagy here on The Electrical Show with Stephen Biggs, who is the technical manager at Tamlight Lighting. Now, Stephen, just picking up from our last link, I'm guessing that this new building safety bill is going to open up some market opportunities to you guys, no doubts.
Oh, definitely. I mean, more than ever, we should be making the case and highlighting the long-term benefits of higher-end solutions, as we just spoke about. We talk about aiming for minimum compliance, but when we talk about British standards and stuff, that this is a minimum level of compliance. Should we be aiming for that minimum end, or should we be aiming to exceed it? You know, and put simply, quality must never be compromised at any point during the project. To industry outsiders, it would be easy, you know, to assume that the emergency lighting is priority to the development and maintenance of all buildings, but our experience in the day-to-day shows that there's still that issue that needs to be tackled, and, you know, emergency lighting is being considered at the latter stage of a project, and sometimes by those with inadequate knowledge and technical and legal requirements. You know, I had a job that we worked on previously, and, you know, when we look at the emergency lighting side, and the response was, oh, we're not sure if the budget's there for the emergency lighting at this stage.
Wow.
That should be at the front end of the thinking, and not the back end of the thinking. You know, let's get the emergency, the life-saving system in place, and then consider the general lighting, if you like. But there's always that common mistake as well with lack of maintenance checks and regular testing in emergency lighting systems. You know, emergency lighting should be maintained and tested regularly to ensure it's working, of course. It's okay having it there, but if it's not doing its job, it's worthless. What we can also offer is that automatic self-test system, which can be a real benefit, where we offer both wired and wireless autonomous emergency lighting systems that can allow for scheduled maintenance programs to be carried out. What that does, of course, is removes that human error, that human element, and ensures the ongoing compliance, where reports can be sent via emails to relevant people to action, or clients with multiple sites, for instance, can have a central head end to monitor emergency lighting across an entire estate. And that takes out that manual task of someone walking around checking emergency lighting is working. If you can get an email when a battery fails or a light source fails in, you know, a high-rise building, you get that instant notification via email. There is definitely worthwhile investment. And again, it is investment because we're trying to come away from that cheap, 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 but ensure that compliance and ultimately building occupier safety.
I mean, that's actually a really good point you make, because a lot of, in fact, we did a quote for an emergency lighting program, and we were relatively competitive price, and I mean, we put our quote in, and the first thing they did was just come back and just start hammering you down on the price, and we just said, look, we can't you know, we can't match the figures you want us to match here. But it goes to show they've obviously given that to somebody else who could do it for that price, and it does make you wonder, how can it be done so cheaply? But again, it's, you know, when humans and cost is involved, the first thing people normally cut is corners. So with the technology which you're talking about, actually, it does away with all of that, which actually is pretty fantastic, to be honest, because it also, I mean, that's also a cost saving for the client as well.
Exactly. And that's what people need to, you know, really start to consider, is not looking at that front end cost, but looking at that solution. You know, this is a solution, not a product. You know, where you talk there about, you put it, people go in with a price and people will VE that option. They'll put a like-for-like system in. But what is key to emergency lighting, for instance, of course, is the design element. It's not a simple case of getting a design from one manufacturer and simply swapping that out for another, where the optical performance of those products doesn't stack up, the lumen output doesn't stack up. And again, you see that shortfall when it's actually carried out and implemented on site. One thing that's key for us is, of course, with BAFE, both BAFE and ICEL approved here at Tanlight to carry out the lighting design, but we've also got a lab here in Telford where we do all our product testing to ensure the products comply with all the British standards. And, you know, from a contractor side, we can offer that design and product solution, which just gives that peace of mind when signing off on projects, knowing that both the design of that project and the products going into that project comply.
I just want to, I mean, I guess we haven't got a huge amount of time here left, but in your opinion, Stephen, do you think the construction industry as a whole, I mean, probably more the electrical sector, do you think it needs a tougher regulation, some sort of tougher enforcement?
Yeah, and like we said earlier, really, it's always that scenario where people don't want to do anything about it until something goes wrong in our industry. When we talk about the bill, we've got the appointment of Chief Inspector of Buildings to lead and set up the new building safety regulator, which will ensure these new rules are enforced. an action, of course, being taken against anybody deemed to have broken them. Peter Baker will head up the building safety regulator to deliver the new regime to ensure the effective oversight of buildings and the building safety environment, but he'll also be the first head of the building control profession lead the work to provide independent expert advice to the industry, government, landlords, and residents of the building safety too, as we covered, you know, earlier in the conversation. The government has also announced it's establishing a regulator which will ensure materials used to build homes will be made safer. So the regulator will have a strong enforcement power, including the ability to conduct its own product testing when investigating concerns. Businesses need to be ensuring that their products are safe before being sold, in addition to the testing of products against the safety standards, and work with the building safety regulator and trading standards to encourage and enforce this compliance. It's something we talk about regularly, but it's that education, really, educating the client, the contractor. Contractor has that front-end discussion, and they can provide the solution, making sure they're passing on these things that the client ultimately stays on the compliance side of things.
I mean, all of this makes a lot of sense, but I mean, it's the same as these, you know, fire regulations. It's all well and good, but it's only effective as, you know, as the ability to enforce them, if that makes any sense. Do you have any idea what the actual penalties will be if rules aren't followed?
Yeah, I mean, of course, the harshest ones, and they are speaking of, is prison sentence for people. So, of course, that's at the very extreme end of things. But that's the seriousness of what we're talking about. There could be prison sentence for people who seem to be completely dismissing of the regulations moving forward.
I mean, it could well be that's enough to actually just scare people into doing a good job, because that is, like I say, I mean, that's unfortunately what most of this is down to. It's just a lot of it is just, there is an attitude of, well, it won't happen to me. You know, what's the odds that the fuse box that I fit is going to burn the house down? And unfortunately, that's just something we hopefully this bill will try to curb with the best of will in the world, I hope. Yeah,
exactly that. And we see it every day where, again, it comes down to that cheap, cheap, cheap. People wanting to put the cheapest products in, maximise on what they take out of the project. We will see more and more with a lot of these now. The profile has been raised. It's there. The government are talking about it. We've got building safety bills coming into place. You know, all of this will hopefully start to, you know, educate the marketplace, really, of getting out of that mentality and us looking at the safety aspect first, as opposed to the cheap, cheap, cheap that we talk about.
Well, there you go. That was Stephen Biggs from Tamlight Lighting. Actually, quite an interesting chap. And like I say, he's got some really strong opinions on this building safety bill. And I do agree with him, to be honest. I think it is about time that we get enforcement for these sort of things, because there is an element of sort of zero accountability in the industry. And I think it'll be really good to see that change. So a big thank you to Stephen for taking the time to come on the show. And we'll more than likely get him back on the show at some point. But thank you very much for joining me here on Fix Radio. Now we're going to be taking a break over the Christmas period, because I need a bit of downtime. And Mark, our good producer, a big thank you to Mark as well, actually, because it's an amazing job he does trying to get guests on and getting all of this stuff. There are so many there's so many different balls in the air when the show goes out. So a big thank you to Mark, our producer, for keeping the train firmly hugging its proverbial tracks, as it were. So we're going to be taking a break over the Christmas period, but we will be doing some best bits, if you will, from the past year, and all of the some of the interesting guests that we've had on, and some of the more interesting or controversial topics, if you will, that we've covered. And we're going to be doing those at the same time every Thursday.